Well, we've been on this highway to healing, and we're going to continue that this morning. If you have your bulletin, inside your bulletin is an outline of the message today, the verses and things that we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about a setback. And when you get on a highway, any type of a highway, there are going to be bumps in the road. And that's what a setback is going back to self-defeating actions. And there are lots of reasons why that happens in our lives. One reason is we get self-satisfied, self-satisfaction. We are just satisfied with the way that we're doing things, and we start because we think we have experienced some successes in being healed and recovering from hang-ups and hurts and maybe some addictions and those kinds of things that we want to recover from and be healed from. And we think we're doing so well, and we give ourselves so much credit, we become self-satisfied and we start jettisoning some of the cargo that we need to recover. And then the second thing that causes us to experience setbacks is that we begin to make excuses. Well, I've come this far, and maybe this is as far as I need to go. And really what's happening in my life is not really all that bad, and I can handle that. And so we begin to make excuses. And then there's another thing is we compromise. And we go back to the place of temptation. You go back to that risky place where you know it is a place of trouble for you because you are tempted to go back into areas where you want to recover, where you want to be healed from. And so you go back to the bar if it's alcohol. You go back to the mall if it's a shopaholic. Or you go back to Baskin-Robbins or wherever it might be, whatever. So you compromise, you start doing those kinds of things, and then finally there's that breakdown and you go back into that setback in your life. But what can cause those setbacks? Well, I want us to consider the fact that depending on willpower again, going back and depending on my own willpower, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 3, you began, Paul's writing to the church at Galatia, and he said, you began in Christ by the Spirit. Now, do you try to continue it by your own power? That is foolish. And so you get on this highway to healing, and you start recovering, you start being healed, and making some progress from those hang-ups and hurts and things, and you start thinking, well, you know, because I've experienced the power of God in my life, and you've had those successes, you say, well, I think I can do this on my own now. I don't really need God to help me. I don't really need other people to help me. I'm making those changes. And so you start to give yourself the credit. And you know, God says, I'm not going to share my glory. I'm not going to share my credit with anybody. No, not with carved idols, not with anything. But we think that we can make it on our own. And so we go back to that and we start depending on willpower. And you have a few successes and suddenly you think that you're all-knowing and you're all-powerful and you can handle anything. And we all need somebody to say at some point in our life, who are you kidding? You're you and you still have those same weaknesses and you still have those same tendencies. And you need the power of God in your life. The second thing that causes a setback is disobeying the truth. And some the many different reasons why we disobey the truth. Sometimes we get in a hurry and we just want to skip over some things that we know to be true. And we know that they've worked in our lives in the past. And we just want to skip over some of those principles that we've been following. And we'll say things like, I don't think I need that one any longer. That one that we talked about last time about making amends and going to those people that we've hurt and making it right. I don't really need that one, so I'm going to skip over that one. No, we need God, and we need to obey God completely. We need to obey God 100%. And by the way, delayed obedience is disobedience. When God speaks to our hearts, that is the moment when we need to say, yes, Lord. In the Christian's vocabulary, there are two words that we should not have, and that is no, Lord. We should never say no, Lord. As soon as He speaks to us, we know exactly what He wants us to do. It should be, yes, Lord. Galatians 5:7 says, you were doing so well. Who made you stop obeying the truth? And so we start depending on our own willpower. We start disobeying the truth. And then third, we are attempting to get well without help. can cause a setback in our life. We need someone else. We need other people in our life. We need that support from Christian brothers and sisters in Christ. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Two people are better than one, because if one falls, the other can help his friend get up. But how tragic it is for the one who is all alone when he falls. There is no one to help him get up. So when you're tempted and things are bad, you need to know, who are you going to call? Don't wait till you're tempted and then say, well, who am I going to call? No, know who you are going to call and who's going to pray with you and who's going to support you. Have that person in your life. Don't try to make it on your own without any help. And the root of our problem is relational. And you can go out and practice these healing type of things that we've been talking about on your own and not get involved with anybody else. And if you do that, it's going to work for a little while, but then in the end, you're going to have that setback. And it's just going to happen. And then the fourth thing is growing to be prideful. You know, when you started off on that highway to healing, you started off by humbling yourself and saying, Lord Jesus, I can't do it on my own. I need your power in my life. And you humbled yourself before the Lord. And you bowed before him and say, God, help me. But we get overconfident. And we get prideful. And so you need to stay humble. And, remember the lesson of the whale? The lesson of the whale is, when you get to the top and you're ready to blow, that's when you stumble. That's when you have that setback, because pride gets us all in all kinds of trouble. Pride always sets us up for a fall. It blinds us to our own weaknesses. It keeps us from seeking help. It prevents us from making amends with other people. It keeps us from doing all of those other things that we've learned on this highway to healing. Proverbs 28:26 says, a man is a fool to trust himself. A man is a fool to trust himself. You know, the Bible is very clear. And the Bible just puts it right out there on the line and says that if you're going to trust in yourself, it is very foolish. And the secret of lasting healing and recovery is to live with humility. Not get all prideful and think that I've got it all together. No. You're getting it together. You and I are getting it together. We don't have it all together. We're getting it together. We're in that process. You know, in May 1987... before the Soviet Union broke up, there was a German teenager who got in an airplane, and this boy flew to the Kremlin in Russia, flew through all of that airspace, the most heavily guarded airspace in the world, and he flew through that, and he got in, and he landed that airplane in Red Square. And you know, that's what pride will do to us. You know, when we get to that place where we think we don't have to be humble anymore and we don't need the Lord, that most heavily guarded place, that place that we think is so strong in our life, becomes weak. And Satan can infiltrate that. But I want to spend most of our time this morning on how do you prevent going back? How do you prevent going back to those self-defeating actions and having that setback in your life, where God has brought you some successes and you making that process and you're healing from those addictions or from that hurt or those hang-ups or whatever it may have been. What is that, those tools that we can use? I want us to base what we're going to say here on 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. This text says, no test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. He'll always be there to help you come through it. He's saying it is human nature. The Bible is telling us in this verse, it's human nature to have setbacks in our lives. To go back to those things that are messing up our lives, and we know that they're messing up our lives, and we want to get out of it. And so he said, you need to have some safeguards. And there are some safeguards that help you prevent a setback. And I want to give you three tools that I believe the Bible gives us to stay on that highway to healing, that when the bumps come, those speed bumps come in the road, that we'll be able to get around them or go over them or get through them and it will prevent setbacks in our life. First thing that the Bible tells us is assessment. There needs to be some assessment in our lives. 1 Corinthians 11:28, examine your motives, test your heart. And then Psalm 139, verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart, test my thoughts, point out everything you find in me that makes you sad. Now, there are a couple of questions. What do you examine in your life? What do you assess in your life? And the second question is, when do you do it? Well, the four kinds of inventories that you do, four types of, when you're doing an inventory of your life, four things that you need to consider. First of all, you need to consider physical. You know, my wife and I were just, my nurse wife and I were talking about this yesterday, how sometimes our bodies are trying to warn us about something. If you take a few short steps and you're out of breath, your body's trying to tell you something. You know, if you're suffering with headaches constantly and backaches constantly, your body's trying to tell you something. Am I hungry? Am I tired? Am I exhausted? Am I stressed out? Take some clues from your body. Physical examination, physical assessment of your life. The second area of our lives that we need to assess is our emotional lives. Am I allowing my real feelings to surface, or am I just pushing those feelings down? And so what you need to do is to do a heart check. Am I hurting? If you're hurting and you don't admit it and you don't deal with it, it's going to mess up what you're doing in your life, how you're trying to be on that road to healing. Are you exhausted? Are you angry? Do you resent anybody? Are you tense? Are you anxious? Are you fearful? So emotional assessment. Then there's relational assessment when you're assessing your life. Am I at peace with everyone? If you're not, that internal conflict is going to keep you back. It's going to hold you back. It's going to keep you from being healed and recovering from that hang-up or whatever it may be. And then the spiritual. So very, very important. Am I relying on God? Am I listening to God? And am I hearing what God is saying? And then when I hear what God is saying, am I doing what He tells me to do? And, you know, when you do an inventory at work, like at a grocery store, if you work at a grocery store and you're doing an inventory, you're going to inventory the bad fruit. But not only are you going to inventory the bad fruit, you're going to inventory the good fruit. And so that's what you need to do spiritually. Yeah, there's some bad fruit in my life, and you know that, and we're all struggling with that and trying to get that out. But what good is happening? What is it that God is doing in my life that I can be thankful for, and I can look at, and I can assess that, and I can celebrate minor victories, no matter how small it is, and on a daily basis? And you can say, well, I told the truth today. Maybe you're struggling with lying. And you told the truth, and you can celebrate that. Or I blew it three times, but I was calm twice. You know, I only blew up one time. Or at least I wanted to be unselfish in that situation. So you celebrate, no matter how small the progress. And so you do that assessment. You celebrate your successes, confess your failures, but you're grateful for what you've done right. And so you can be honestly proud of what God's doing in your life. You give God the glory. You know, it's all right to be proud as long as you're proud of what God's doing in your life. Proud of Him. Boast in the cross. Boast in the personal relationship that God has with you. So that's what you do in the assessment. Then when do you do the assessment? Assessments are like house cleaning. You know, there are at least three ways we do house cleaning. One way, some people are neat freaks. And what they do in house cleaning is they go in behind the toddler with their dustbuster holster, you know, and they're cleaning up, even and picking up the toys even before they're done playing, like the waitress or the waiter at the restaurant that takes your plate before you're done eating. But you know, the neat freak. And so you can do assessment like that just all the time. Or there are those who at the end of the day, when they're cleaning the house, at the end of the day, they put the house back together. And just to keep it from falling apart. So they wait till the end of the day. And then there are those who wait till the end of the year. And they clean the house and they do spring cleaning whether the house needs it or not. And so those are three ways. You know, you're assessing your life in that same kind of way. And as you clean the house, you do an inventory, first of all, moment by moment. At any time of the day, when God, the Holy Spirit, just nudges your heart and He says, that this is something that you need to look at, and this is something you need to be concerned about. And that, what is your body saying to you? What are your emotions saying to you? Are you tuned into me, God says? Do you have any relational conflicts? And you try to deal with those immediately, because the longer you postpone those relationships or those situations, the worse it becomes. And so you need to learn to do spiritual breathing. And just as natural as breathing is to you, you need to do spiritual breathing. Spiritual breathing is when you have blown it, when you have sinned. Spiritual breathing is when you immediately confess that sin. You know that it's a sin as a Christian. And so you confess that sin to the Lord, and you breathe, you blow it out, and you breathe in God's love. And you receive the forgiveness of God. That's spiritual breathing. And so learn to do on a moment-by-moment basis. Do spiritual breathing 1,000 times a day, or as often as you need it. And then the second way is like the daily having a daily review. So at the end of the day, when you lay down at night, and God just says, well, you did okay in this certain area today. And this was a victory, and you need to celebrate it. And then there's that annual checkup where you need to get away for a day, and you just kind of like spring cleaning, and you get away and you do a moral inventory of your life, and you take some time off to really look at your life and look at it and see if it's in order and prioritize the things that in your life. So one tool to prevent setbacks is assessment. The second tool is thought, your thought life. And this area is where you need to take the time to hear from God. That's all it is, just taking the time to hear from God. Because busyness stifles recovery and healing and growth. And this is the secret of spiritual strength. And Satan fights nothing harder in your life than in this issue, making sure I get time alone with God in the quiet time. He will fight that tooth and nail. And he has three tools. Satan has three tools to keep you from having that time alone with God. It's called noise, crowds, and urgency. Those three things keep you from hearing God on a personal basis. And the key to growth is to have roots down deep in God's Word. And the way you get roots down deep in the Word of God is you meditate on the Word of God. You seriously think about what you read in the Bible for a little while, and then you think about what it means to your own life. Now, that is meditation. And God says, my Word is the way you succeed in life. And the Bible is the manual for life. And life becomes easier when you follow the instruction book that God has given you. Now, how do you meditate? How do you meditate on the Word of God? Psalm 119:11 says, the psalmist said, I have thought much about your words, and I've stored them in my heart so that they would hold me back from sin. He says, I think about the Word of God. And I've stored the Word of God in my heart. Have you ever thought about what it means to store the Word of God in your heart? Do you know how to store the Word of God in your heart? You memorize it. You memorize it. There's no easy way around it. And that just seems like a dirty word to so many folks. You know, memorize. But that's what he says when he stored the Word of God in his heart. He has memorized key principles and key passages for his life. And he says that when you do that, it will keep you from sinning. If you want to avoid temptation, what you need to do is think about the Word of God. Get it in your mind, get it in your heart, so that when that temptation comes, you can avoid it from the Word of God by having the Word of God. And so there's assessment, there's thought, and then the third thing is prayer, the third tool to prevent setbacks in your life is prayer. Prayer, listen, prayer can do anything God can do. Prayer can do anything that God can do. In fact, it is the way that you plug into the power of God. You ever think about how much power God's got? I hope you think about that sometimes. Because God's got all power, and that is the way you plug into it. It is through prayer. You say that I can't do that, but God can do it. How do I get God's power? You get it through prayer. And most people don't realize that you can pray about any need in your life. God is a loving Father. Maybe the father you never had. Sometimes folks say, well, I never had a father that loved me like that. Well, a heavenly Father is the Father who loves you like that. And you can pray about anything. You can pray about your financial needs. You can pray about a physical need, a relational need, a spiritual need, an emotional need. And He will take any need in prayer. So the question is, how do you pray? How do you pray? I want us to look at the Lord's Prayer to see. Notice what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, may your holy name be honored. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need. Forgive us the wrongs we have done as we forgive the wrongs that others have done us. Do not bring us to hard testing, but keep us safe from the evil one. Now, I want you to notice a couple of things from the Lord's Prayer. The first thing that I want you to circle, if you've got that outline there, if you've got your Bible open, I want you to circle the word how. How. Jesus said, this then is how you should pray. Jesus didn't say, this then is what you should pray. We get that confused sometimes. But Jesus said, this is how you should pray. It says it is a model, it is not a ritual to be prayed time after time. But notice, it's all here. All of the healing on the highway to healing steps are covered in the prayer. He says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, he's saying, I realize we are to come before God and we're to say, God, I realize that I'm not you and I've been playing God in my life. That was the first step that we talked about. You know, the reason we have so much trouble and so many hang-ups and hurts and things that keep hanging on in our lives, that keep hurting us and pulling us down and defeating us, is because we try to control everything in our lives. And so we come in the Lord's Prayer. Jesus said, you are confessing that you are not God, that God is holy, and that God's name is to be valued above all other names. And then he says, may your will be done, may your kingdom come. And so that's surrendering to the Lord, that your will be done in my life, that your kingdom is going to come in my life. And then he says, trust me to give you this daily bread, the things that you need day by day, moment by moment. And then he says, forgive us our debts, forgive us our sins. And that's a step in that healing process. As we forgive others, and we've talked about that several times over the past few weeks, how important it is. When you pray that prayer, do you really want to pray that prayer? Just think about that. We brought this up before, but I want to score this again this morning. Forgive us as we forgive others. Now, how are you forgiving others? Are you forgiving them freely? Instantly? Completely? Well, that's the way we want God to forgive us. But he says in this prayer, he will forgive us as we forgive others. And so if you're holding on to resentment or bitterness or a grudge, you're not going to be on the highway to healing. You're in a setback. Then he said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's the setback. And that's what we're talking about this morning. And so that recovery, that healing, highway to healing, is as old as the Lord's Prayer. Jesus gave us these principles by which we can find full healing and recovery. Now, you say, well, I don't have a destructive habit in my life. Well, good for you. But you may have. Maybe you've got a destructive habit in your life. Or if you don't have that destructive habit, maybe you've got a hurt. And you've just been holding on to that hurt. And it just continues to hurt deeper and deeper and deeper because you refuse to recover from it and put it in the hands of God and let Him work in your life. Or maybe you've got this hang-up and you just can't get past that. You're trying to grow as a Christian. Or you want to become a Christian, but there's this hang-up. And you just don't know how to get over it. If you've got an issue in your life that you say, no matter what I do, I can't get over it. The good news is, and we've been saying this for 7 weeks, that you matter to Jesus Christ. And He has the power to help you. And you can make the changes with His help that you want to make and He wants you to make if you will just step across the line and let Jesus Christ do it. And it boils down to a decision. And the decision is yours. The decision is yours. Just a moment, we're going to sing a song of invitation. But before we sing that song of invitation, on the highway to healing, getting on the highway to healing, and really being serious about it means that you begin a relationship. If you've never done that, you begin a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to establish that relationship, that greatest relationship that you will ever have with God, with the eternal God, with His Son, Jesus Christ. And the way you do that, the way you establish that relationship is to answer yes to four questions. The first question that Jesus asks you is, are you willing to believe that He died on the cross for your sins and that He rose from the dead and He's alive today? That's the first question. Are you willing to believe that? If you say yes to that, you're on your way. You're not there yet, but you're on your way. The second question is, are you willing to accept God's free forgiveness through His Son, Jesus Christ? You can be forgiven, but it is only through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you willing to accept that forgiveness? The third question that He asks, and that is this, are you willing to repent of your sins? That is, to change your mind about the way you're living your life and to change your attitude and say, God, it's not just not getting it to the decisions that I'm making. And so, God, I repent of those sins, those wrongs, those mistakes that I've made. And it's led me on a road of destruction. And Lord, I'm willing to say yes to repenting of those sins so that I can get on the road that leads to life. And then the fourth question, am I willing to follow Jesus Christ 100%? As my Lord and my boss and my manager of my life. If you can answer yes to those four questions, you can be saved. Let's all stand together as we sing. Our young people, our teenagers are going to come and here at the altar. The altar is open for those who want to come to pray. Our Sunday school class is going to be praying. Those who want to join them in prayer for our church, prayer during this time of our invitation. Or maybe you are a Christian and you've stepped across that line. You have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, but it's not where you want it to be. You've stepped away from Jesus, maybe one step or maybe two steps, or maybe you're 10 miles away and you just feel like you're so far away from the Lord Jesus Christ. You can come back today. You can come to the altar. You can come and just share that with me. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior today, I'll be standing here at the front. Come and we'll pray with you for that decision that you've made as we sing together.
Okay. give you my life to follow, everything I believe in. Now I surrender, Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. Let the whole